بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're still discussing some of the invocations, some of the dhikr that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام either used to say or he instructed his companions to say. And last time we mentioned some of that, and there are others, but you have to follow them and you have to look for them in the books of Sunnah. And some of the scholars say that the Prophet ﷺ used to maintain saying لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه مخلصين له الدين ولو كره المشركون اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. And then you go on to say, for example, آيات الكرسي, to say قل هو الله أحد قل أعوذ برب الفلق قل أعوذ برب الناس. Once after every prayer except for Fajr and Maghrib, you say them 3 times each. Also saying what we will have here inshallah, subhanallah 33 times, alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times, and then you conclude with the 100th la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah lahul mulku lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And there are a number of many different other du'as or dhikr that you make after that, but you have to investigate and you have to memorize them so that you know when to say it and when not to say it. So the hadith with us today is hadith number 129. Arshi, kindly read it for us.
Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported, the poor amongst the emigrants came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The possessors of great wealth have obtained the highest ranks and the lasting bliss. The Prophet ﷺ said, how is that? They said, they pray as we pray, and they observe fast as we observe fast. And they give charity, but we do not give charity. And they set slaves free, but we do not set slaves free. Upon this, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, shall I not teach you something by which you will catch upon those who have preceded you, and get ahead of those who come after you? And no one can be better than you except those who do as you do. They said, yes, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, extol Allah, declare his greatness, and praise him 33 times after every prayer. Abu Saleh said, the poor amongst the emigrants returned to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, saying, our brethren, the possessors of property have heard what we have done, and they did the same. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that is Allah's grace, which he gives to whom he wishes. Sumayya reported, I made a mention of this hadith to some members of my family, and one of them said, you have forgotten. He, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had said like this, extol Allah 33 times, praise Allah 33 times, and declare his greatness 33 times. He said, I made a mention of this hadith to Abu Saleh, and he said, say Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, until you reach 33 from all of them.
This hadith, as you've heard, is about an incident. It shows you how the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, were so eager to reach the highest levels of reward that they tried everything in their capacity, but they were faced with some obstacles. And one of the greatest obstacles to them was being unable to spend money for the cause of Allah. That is why the poor immigrants of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ came to him. And we know that the immigrants, the muhajireen, they've left everything they had when they migrated to Medina. They were not allowed to take money. They were not allowed to take any of their properties or sell or use them, as in the hadith of Suhaib al-Rumi, may Allah be pleased with him, when he migrated from Mecca, he was met in the middle of the way by some of the pagans, of the idol worshippers, and they intercepted his way, wanting to prevent him from going to Medina. And they said to him, by Allah, we will not leave you go to Medina wealthy when you came to us as a poor person. Of course, when he came, he was a slave. And then he traded and he made some money. And there are narrations that he was a blacksmith, so he used to sell weapons and make weapons and etc. So they told him, we're not leaving you. You came to us poor, now you go out wealthy? No. So he put all the arrows he had on the ground with his bow in his hand. He said, by Allah, all of you know that I am among the best of archers. And by Allah, you will not draw closer to me until I put an arrow in each one of you. And if the arrows run over or run out and I am out of ammunition, I will fight you with my sword until I die. So this gives them a glimpse of what awaits them. And not only that, he gave them another and better proposal. He told them, either choose this or I will direct you to the place where I hid my money and where I hid my wealth. They thought it over and thought that, it's better safe than sorry. We'll go and get the money instead. And they believed him because the Arabs at the time, not now, the Arabs at the time did not lie. Even when they were kafir, even when they're idol worshippers, they would not lie. Abu Sufyan, when he was summoned in front of the leader of the Byzantium state, of the Byzantians, he asked him questions and he kept his companions behind him. He said, had I not feared that people would say I lied, I would have lied. But it's my reputation. Though I am not Muslim, he says, my reputation that I'm protecting, I will never lie. And he said everything that was in accordance to the truth. So he told them where the money was and they let him go. The minute he walked into Medina, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Rabbih al-bay'u Aba Yahya. O father of Yahya, this is his nickname. Your trade was successful and fruitful, meaning your trade of salvation to migrate in return for giving them the money. This was a good transaction. It is the best of transactions. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told him that he did the right thing. So the emigrants did not have money at all. And we know this, and there are a number of stories. But the people of Al-Ansar, the people in the natives of Medina, they are the people of the city and they had money. So they, the emigrants, complained, O Prophet of Allah, we pray, we fast, and our brethren do the same. But they give money to charity, we don't. They buy slaves and free them for the sake of Allah, and we don't. And this also indicates that slavery was there at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and it will continue until the Day of Judgment. But it's not the slavery that we see in the West as it was in America 300 or 200 years ago, or elsewhere in Europe, where they used to go to Africa and they would abduct people, free people, and enslave them and force them to work. Slavery in Islam is not like this. Slavery in Islam is only resulting through wars with the non-Muslims. Legitimate wars with the non-Muslims. Prisoners of wars become to be slaves. And this is for their own sake, because they live with Muslim families and they eat from the food of the Muslim families and they wear exactly as the Muslim families do. These are the rights of the slaves. And they are exposed to Islam, and the majority of them accept Islam. And that is why the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the authentic hadith, I was amazed to see people entering paradise with chains. I was amazed to see people entering paradise with chains. And the scholars explain this hadith by saying that the Prophet is referring, alayhi salatu wasalam, to people who were enslaved as non-Muslims. And they were put in chains. How? After a while, they embraced Islam and they were entitled to enter paradise due to these chains. Because if they were not imprisoned, if they were not enslaved, they would not have recognized Islam and would not have accepted it. Therefore, the companions, the emigrants, complained. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam instructed them to a supplication, to a dua, to a dhikr. If they say it after praying, then no one would ever come close to them if he follows, and they will overtake those who preceded them. Meaning it is so great that Allah Azza wa Jal rewards people immensely upon it. What is that? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, you glorify Allah, you praise Allah, you say Allahu Akbar 33 times. In another narration, and you conclude that by saying, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu mulku wa lahu alhamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And this is the completion of 100. And this is the completion of 100 is very crucial. Why? Because they have disagreed whether it is 11, 11, 11 or 33 times, 33 times, 33 times. And the most authentic opinion is that it is 33 times each. But how would we say it? Would we say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah until we finish three times? Or should we say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, this is once. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, this is twice until we finish 33 times. This is what we'll know, inshallah, after the break. So stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So, scholars differed. What is best, to say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times, or to say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar once, and repeat that 33 times? It's an issue of dispute, and inshallah, all is accepted. All is accepted. It depends on what you feel is best. Secondly, they differed, the scholars. How should we say, or what would we begin with? Some say it is best to say Alhamdulillah, and then Subhanallah, and then Allahu Akbar. And some say, no, you first of all begin with Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah. Why? Because when you say Subhanallah, you're glorifying Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is better than praising Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And the sky is the limit. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, on his explanation to Sahih al-Bukhari, that is Fath al-Bari, the book, the great book known as Fath al-Bari, which means that it is the blessing and the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal to make me understand. And this is one of the greatest books compiled in Hadith and in fiqh. It's composed of 13 volumes, this big, and it's full of knowledge. And it took Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani about 22 years to write and rewrite and rewrite and rewrite until it was in its final version. And Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, as we all know, is the compiler of Bulugh al-Maram, which is the second to be studied after Umdat al-Ahkam in level or degree. And he was one of the greatest judges. He was a judge in Asqalan or Egypt. Ibn Hajar, in his book, Fath al-Bari, said that the most authentic opinion is that you begin with Subhanallah, and then Alhamdulillah, and then Allahu Akbar. So the companions, the immigrants, were very happy to learn this from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and they went back home. However, because they were Muslims, because they were companions, because they loved that their brothers also share with them in the reward, they didn't keep this to themselves. They were not selfish. They went to the Ansar, the people with money, and they told them that the Prophet told us so and so and so and so. So what do you expect the rich people did, they also started saying it after Salah. And then the immigrants said, well, now we're back to square one. If we are saying it and the Ansar are saying it, but they have extra money, there's no use. So they went back to the Prophet ﷺ complaining again and saying that our brethren have heard about what you had taught us and now they're doing the same. And the Prophet said ﷺ, ذَلِكَ فَضُلُ اللَّهِ. This is Allah's blessing, or you can say that this is Allah's grace. The Prophet said ﷺ, this is Allah's grace. He gives it to whom He wishes. So this means that there is nothing you can do. And that is why scholars have differed greatly to whom is closer to Allah. A rich man who is thankful or a poor man who is patient. And Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah have mercy on his soul, discussed this and elaborated on it in his book, where he talks about the virtues of patience and the virtues of being grateful. As there is a hadith that, though it's not authentic, but it's highly regarded by the scholars and it's being used a lot, that iman is two halves, patience and being grateful. Al-imanu sabrun wa shukrun. It's two halves. So Imam Ibn al-Qayyim wrote his book, Tuhfatu al-Sabirin wa Dhakhiratu al-Shakirin, or Uddatu al-Sabirin wa Dhakhiratu al-Shakirin. Uddatu al-Sabirin wa Dhakhiratu al-Shakirin. And he discussed in it the scholars who disputed whether who is best, a rich man who is grateful, he's spending his money in the cause of Allah, or a poor man who doesn't have money, but he is thankful and patient. He is accepting what Allah has decreed upon him. And the scholars say that if they are equal in iman and in sabr, if they're equal in all of the things, then the man with the wealth is better. Why? Because he is spending it in the cause of Allah and they're all equal in righteousness. Some scholars say, no. We know that by paying his money, he's gaining a lot of rewards and hasanat. But at the same time, he will be questioned more where he got this money. And that is why the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the poor are the majority of Jannah, are the majority of paradise. And they enter paradise, how long? 500 years before the rich. The poor enter paradise 500 years before the rich, and the rich are being questioned at the gates of paradise. But they're not in hell. That simply being questions. Where did you get this? And where did you spend it? Even if he's a righteous person, he would be asked for every penny he has. But after that, he will be admitted, inshallah, to paradise. Therefore, this hadith is something that we should abide by, and we should always say it and do it, because it is a sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And guidance is one of the greatest gifts of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divides guidance as He divides provisions. But He gives guidance only to those whom He loves. While provisions, He gives them to those whom He loves and those whom He doesn't. So if you see people with wealth, fame, fortune, don't think that this is a sign that Allah loves them. Because Allah only loves those whom He gives hidayah, whom He gives guidance. Do you have any questions? Yes, brother.
Sheikh, you said chit-chat and gossiping is forbidden, haram. So what do you say about Facebook?
About Facebook? Facebook is a menace that can be used in goodness. And before, I used to advise people not to enter Facebook. And myself, I closed my account. And recently, people insisted that I should do it and use it for da'wah purposes. But until the moment, I'm unable to utilize it due to time constraints. Plus, I do not have the technology and the knowledge in knowing how to block certain things. Because Facebook is good if you're making a page, calling people to Islam, teaching them, clarifying some misconceptions. However, it is not good, because if I visit your page and I read something and people comment on it, and I see a picture that I like, so I press on the name, and then I open the page of that person, a he or a she, and I visit the photos, and I see photos, and I see fitna, and then I send a poke, or I send a private message, and then relationships develop, this is haram. So if you're able to maintain a hard line and a separation between Islamic propagation and da'wah and chit-chatting, this is good. If you're able to block the pictures and not enable people who visit your site to go into friends and look at your friends and then select and visit their web pages. I don't know if this is possible or not. Myself, I don't know. I need people to teach me how to block these things, because I have a page and I have a fan page and I have my own page. And I rarely use it, but sometimes I just post few things and people may like and people may not like. I care less, but I'm trying my best to do for da'wah. Therefore, Facebook, the majority of people usages of it is haram. The majority. Because you find a lot of boys saying, interest, girls. And when you visit a sister's page, interest, boys. And they put pictures that are so disgraceful and so shameful. And some of them put their own profile picture as women in their bikinis or men in their showing their six packs. And all of this is haram. This is not part of Islamic behavior. So it depends, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. This is all the time we have until we meet next time. Fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.